welcome to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A. It's a show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. On Drive Time, Big Q&A, we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. G'day, everybody. It's Will and Brenton here in the studio tonight. We're coming to you live from our studio here in South Australia.
We are.
And we are in for a wonderful theme. We hope you'll enjoy what we're going to be discussing over the next hour. We're looking at New Year's resolutions. And so as we are just a couple of days out from Christmas and New Year's is just around the corner, hey, this is what everyone is talking about. What are your New Year's resolutions? And probably the better question, Brenton, is did you keep last year's resolutions?
I'm having trouble remembering last year's.
Yeah, that's right. I think we all are.
I don't know about you.
Yeah. So that's what we're looking at. So in a couple of days, everyone's going to be having a wonderful Christmas. Yeah. And before you know it, New Year's Eve's around the corner and January 1, 2025 is fast coming upon us.
Coming along.
So we thought it would be good as a team to look at the theme of New Year's resolutions. So tonight, Brenton and I are going to look at the question, are New Year's resolutions the ultimate embarrassment? Man, I think I'm already saying kind of like a yes, Brenton.
I think I hear that coming through.
Because, man, I've made a ton of resolutions, and I don't know, man.
Can you remember how many of them you've kept?
Man, I'm ashamed to say it, but I don't know if I've even kept one. Man, so I'm not.
I'll share.
I should just leave the studio right now because I have absolutely no credibility in this topic. So I'll let you just go and run it for the next hour. So that's what we're looking at tonight. Are New Year's resolutions the ultimate embarrassment? We're going to have a look at that, and our team will be unpacking different aspects of this theme on New Year's resolutions. So we hope you're in for a treat as you spend time with us in the next hour. Whether you're driving in the car, or whether you're at home, or you may even be listening to this at a future time. Hey, thank you for choosing to spend time with us here on Faith FM.
They can get it on the podcast.
They can get it on the podcast, absolutely, and on our website as well.
For sure.
Faithfm.com.au. So, wherever you're tuning in from, we'd love to hear from you. 0488 80811 is the number that you'll need for our book offer, which we will promote in just a few moments' time. And so, just going to go to our Worldwatch segment. We want to share a little bit of what's happening around the world and in our country. And so I thought we would share this particular article, Brenton, tips to create new traditions and take the stress out of Christmas preparations. And so this is off ABC.
Will be interesting.
Yeah, abc.net.au posted this up a little while back. And so I'm going to read a bit of the article, and Brenton, love for you to jump in love to chime in some of your thoughts.
Go.
So here we go. It says here, and the article is written by Lucy Cutting for ABC Lifestyle. So here we go.
It's very appropriate.
Yes.
Isn't it? Lucy Cutting. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Trim it down.
Cutting what?
Cutting what? Yeah, that's right. Edit.
Yeah. So here we go. She starts the article saying this: the festive season should spark joy.
Sure.
But it can also be a stressful and emotionally charged time. Added responsibilities and expectations and the chance of unwanted conversations with family can lead to the wrong sparks flying around the Christmas table. For some, it's also a time of grief. Melbourne/Narn relationships counsellor Jill Zaddy advises, and she quotes, if you've lost a child or a family member throughout the year, it also brings about a lot of angst.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you're going to be missing someone at Christmas, she says. So how can the jumble of emotions and added responsibilities be managed to ensure the best Christmas possible? It may mean a meeting, says Sydney/Gadigal land-based relationship expert Dr. Raquel Peel.
Right.
So before we get into that, what are your thoughts? Because she makes an interesting observation. Christmas is a wonderful time, but what if you've lost someone? What if around this season something tragic happened in your family, in your health?
Yeah.
It may not be all that it's...
It's not going to be a good day for you, let's be honest. I can't see, particularly I'm thinking of some dear friends of mine who last Monday we buried his father up at Kabunda. I don't think he'll be looking forward to Christmas. His mother is struggling as well. And look, there are any number of people around Australia who probably aren't looking forward to Christmas this year for various factors.
And yeah.
The loss of a loved one is certainly one that's very high on many people's lists. What it tends to do at Christmas time, if you've lost a loved one, particularly recently, you immediately start thinking of them because you may have in the past spent Christmases with them. And all of a sudden there's an empty chair. There's nobody there anymore. And, those type of losses. If you study back when I did some study years ago on stress and that sort of thing, I think two of the major stressors in life are the loss of a loved one and divorce. They're the two major stresses, if I remember correctly, from my studies in that type of area. So I would say to those poor people, as a Christian, you can ask God to give you peace.
Yeah.
You can ask God to take away the very vivid memories that you will very likely experience so that you can at least get something out of that season.
Yeah. So, just going back to the article says here, plan ahead, going back to what Miss Zaddy says.
Right.
She says, plan ahead so that decisions are made when it's not a conflict situation.
Yes,
Miss Zaddy is no stranger to an elaborate Christmas. She likes to go all out with food and decorations. She knows emotions aside from joy can creep in, such as anxiety. And she says, quote, everything feels quite amplified and intensified at Christmas. Both experts agree that planning ahead can help manage stress in the festive season. Ms. Zaddy says, start planning now to preempt possible issues and make sure you're on the same page as your household.
Oh, yes.
She suggests. Couples or households communicate three wishes for Christmas to better understand each other's values and needs for the festive season. Very interesting.
Okay.
Airing anxieties is also important. Angst over a death or separation can be amplified at Christmas time.
Exactly.
And discussing how to get through the grief can alleviate stress. Dr. Peel encourages couples to hold a meeting focused on planning for Christmas. Dr. Peel says, quote, people in relationships sometimes jump through steps because they assume their partner is in the same mindset. Interesting.
Yeah.
The article says, a conversation can help manage expectations, the mental load of planning Christmas, and setting place an exit strategy from a gathering if needed. I like that. So if your uncle's rambling on
that's
or
right,
someone's
man,
are getting a bit.
Time to go.
Yeah. Oh, honey, the washing machine's on back home. That's a good one. She says, Dr. Peel says, if we know it's going to be a time of conflict or a time where expectations are mismatched, it's good that you talk about it. Yeah. I think we do that naturally, like when you're planning an event or you're going somewhere.
Do.
You kind of, between your spouse or your family, you're like, hey, like you kind of say this to the kids, you know, like I got a 5-year-old, like, hey, remember when we go to this house, don't do this, give them the pep talk.
Right.
It kind of sounds like a bit like that.
I think for women, Christmas can be particularly stressful, particularly if they're providing Christmas dinner for the whole family.
Yeah.
So for mum and dad and the cousins and the brothers-in-law, the sisters-in-law and all the rest of it, it can make for a fairly interesting experience. I've been to a few of those, so I do know what they're like. You have too.
Yeah.
And as I was saying on the program last week, when we were kids, we used to go to Christmas. Now, I'm not sure where the stress was there. It certainly wasn't one on us as kids. When you got 60 people sitting around this big, long table, made the Knights of the Round Table look positively tiny, and you're there with all your cousins and your relatives and that sort of thing, it's quite an experience.
Yeah.
It's many years since I've done that, but I still remember it very, very clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a couple of more things on this article, and then we'll go to the book offer. So there's a section here on creating new traditions.
Yes.
And Miss Daisy says, a lot of us get so swept up in the season that we forget the key values that are important to us, she says. Then she goes on to say, set a tradition that you're really looking forward to with your partner, kids, or pets. It's taking control and really making the celebration about you as opposed to everybody around you. End of quote. She also encourages families to look to the future to better inform decisions made in the present. Kids can really add to the stress, but keeping their present and future needs in mind can help direct how the festive season is celebrated. Then she says, "Is I think it's a pretty good insight here." She says, Zadie. She says, quote, "If I were to see your child in 15 or 20 years, what would you want them to say about the experience of Christmas and holiday celebrations?" She says,
"It's a valid point."
Yeah, she says, "If we think that way, we can start planting those seeds now." So traditions such as homemade Christmas tree decorations, hand-decorated wrapping paper, a special recipe or Christmas movie tradition can bring it back to family.
It can.
And then there's a little section right at the end about self-care to success. She says, "At the end of the year when you're already exhausted and stretched, all the self-care things go away, but it breeds anxiety and stress." She says, "A lot of people stop exercising over Christmas."
Yes.
"That's not a good idea.
It's a still great time making for putting on weight."
Yeah. I guess what I get from that article is a bit of a plan walking into Christmas.
Yes.
Don't let the whole thing overwhelm you and
don't let it creep up on you.
Yeah, creep up on you and you kind of, you might be thinking one plan, your spouse or your kids have got a totally different understanding. Yep. They might think Christmas is, you know, doing X, Y, and Z and going to the, you know. So I guess just to me it's a bit of communication and so everyone's on the same page. So to our listeners out there, hey, what are your Christmas traditions? What are you planning to get up to? Are there things that you kind of do as a family or as a community of the people you love?
Are there some unusual Christmas traditions?
I think for me, my family have a real tradition as such, Pastor Brandon. I think the main thing is we just try to catch up.
Yeah.
So I've got family in Sydney. I've got, obviously, we're living here in South Australia and, my wife has her sister up in Brisbane. Then there's
Do they come
parents
down at Christmas time? Do you all meet in Sydney?
Yeah, that's the planning. Like, where are we going to be at this time? And then you've got. We try and go up to Brisbane and New Zealand. Sometimes Tarani's parents come over to Adelaide or Brisbane. So it's a bit of a planning and we kind of just see what's happening and we try to make it work. That's sounds part good. Of the challenge, but at the end of the day, it's about catching up with the people you love, you know.
It is. All
so,
good.
So, hey, for you out there with Christmas just around the corner, we hope that you will have a wonderful Christmas. But we are talking about New Year's resolutions. We'll get to that in just a moment. So we're going to go to a break, but before we do, we're going to promote our book offer.
Which is
Whole Person Health by Mr. David Marshall. And so for those who may not know, Whole Person Health, it's a state of complete physical, mental, social, and spiritual well-being, not merely the absence of disease. So how is it achieved? It says find out. So here we go. So if you'd like a free copy of the book Whole Person Health by David Marshall, all you need to do is text the code, which is SA245. Text the code SA245 to our number 0488880811 and we'll get that book to you as soon as possible. So once again, Whole Person Health by David Marshall. If you like a free copy, just text the code SA245 to our number 0488880811 and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. We'll go to some music and when we come back, we will jump into our conversation. Are New Year's resolutions the ultimate embarrassment? Please don't go away. We will be back in just a few moments.
sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Wonders of his
to the World by Francesca Battistelli.
Wow.
Well, that was a up-tempo one there. So welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time BQ&A. It's Will and Brenton in the studio tonight looking at the theme New Year's Resolutions, and tonight's topic, are New Year's Resolutions the ultimate embarrassment? That's what we're looking at. So Pastor Brenton, walk us through this concept of New Year's Resolutions. And yeah, very interesting topic. Is it the ultimate embarrassment? Should we still be thinking and planning about New Year's resolutions? What are your thoughts on it?
All right. Let me share some statistics. As you know, I'm a statistics person,
yes.
So I'll start out with some statistics. This year, 2024, 14 million Australians made a New Year's resolution.
Wow.
So, Will, I don't,
over half.
I don't know whether you and I are in that boat. I'm struggling to remember whether I made any resolutions for this year. But according to this survey, 14 million made resolutions. What's interesting is that I'm going to share a couple of humorous quotes with you from a guy called Mark Twain, who wrote Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer. Some of those stories, he says this: now is the accepted time for annual good resolutions.
There you go.
Next week you can pave the road to hell with them. I rather like that one. And then he says in another context, another time, they're a harmless annual institution of no particular use to anyone. He's talking about New Year's resolutions. Oscar Wilde said this, I like this: good resolutions are simply checks that men may draw on a bank where they have no account.
I thought that was rather good.
I like that one. Anyway, HCF, which is a health provider, as we all know, in the Australian health insurance industry, they did a survey not that long ago of 1,000 people, and they found that 80% of those that they surveyed had made a New Year's resolution. But 46% found themselves too busy to stick with what they'd made as a resolution. Maybe they should have also checked how many of you remember what resolution you did make as to whether you stuck with it or not.
Pretty much.
This is you were talking about it off air, about the New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
Are there any that you can clearly remember? Maybe not from this year. Can you remember any from previous years that you may have made that either you kept, didn't keep, or gradually got to the stage where you got too busy and completely forgot about it.
Yeah. I did make a New Year's resolution to go to the gym.
To go to the gym.
To exercise
a lot more. You have done that.
Yeah.
That's one thing I meant to do and haven't done.
Yeah.
So I need to do it.
But you know what? I've always had a love for reading. And
good on you.
Look.
A man after my own heart.
Yes.
A reader. A man
but
who
if,
reads.
If I could be totally vulnerable with you, Pastor Brennan, with our listeners, I have made quite a number of New Year's resolutions to read the Bible through in a year.
Right.
Actually through almost like a challenge through the month of January or for the first couple of months. And, man, I've read it at – I cannot tell you how many times I've read Genesis now. I mean, I've I've probably read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and some there's some hard territory through
that's
those chapters. I've got out of there. I've kind of journeyed with Moses.
Are you into Kings yet?
I don't think I've got to Kings. I think I got up to Judges.
Judges.
So look,
oh good.
That has been something I've tried to do, and then man, for various reasons, just lack of discipline, just not keeping to it, I've kind of dropped the ball.
Okay.
So look, I'm just being honest with you.
Yeah.
I've actually never read the Bible cover to cover, but I've started a dozen times, and so I don't know. It's just haven't stuck through it. I'm ashamed to say it, Brendan, because I know people. I mean, I got the inspiration from one Christian evangelist pastor who's since passed away. His name within our faith group, HMS Richards, and he has this thing where he reads it every year at the beginning of the year. And I read that somewhere the other, you know, a little while back, and I said, I want to do that.
Mm.
So I'm ashamed to say to you.
Your intentions were good.
Yes.
Intentions were good.
And so then I kind of, I kind of create a new goal. Okay, I'll just, you know, go back to my, you know, reading a passage or a chapter or this, that. But if truth be told, I haven't ticked that box yet.
You haven't ticked it.
But, certainly I've read many parts of the Bible, different books, many times. But to systematically read it through from Genesis to Revelation, I'm yet to do that, sad to say.
That's okay. You
asked me if I gave you the answer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just to give you an idea, this morning in my worship, I did two things.
Mm-hmm.
I read the book of Zephaniah.
Wow.
Now, the book of Zephaniah is a whole three chapters, and it's primarily about judgment on Judah and judgment on Moab and judgment on the Philistines, etc., etc., etc. And then I read something from Matthew 28, which is, go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, etc., etc. I'm trying to... I didn't set myself a goal of reading the Bible in a year, but I think next year I might make the effort to do that.
Yeah.
Probably I'm a bit like you in the sense that I have read most of the Bible. Could I say I've read absolutely every word? Probably not.
Mm.
One of the things that bothers me a bit, I suppose, as I get a bit older, and it's you tend to be, when you read the Bible, you tend to be more reflective. Now, if you set yourself a goal of reading the Bible, starting at Genesis 1 and ending at Revelation chapter 22 by the end of the year, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But I would ask myself a question: how much of it am I taking in?
Mm.
How many times? I mean, there are people who read the Bible every year.
Mm.
Every year they have the plan. They start at Genesis, they finish at Revelation, and they go through it in a year. But what I'm finding today is texts that, or sections of the Bible, stories, because you realize a lot of scripture is stories. When you start to really get into these stories, sometimes you don't get very far. You might only read 10 or 12 verses.
Yeah.
Because you're always trying to take it in. Anyway, back to our 14 million Australians who made their good New Year's resolutions. Guess what the top ones were?
What was it? Go to the gym.
No, I'm giving the top. Yeah, well, you're close. Improve my physical health.
Mm-hmm.
Comes in at number one. And where does that come from? YouGov.
Right.
On the government website. Yep. YouGov. Improve my physical health. Of the 14 million, this is what they said. 49% said, my New Year's resolution is to improve my health. The second was improve my mental health. I found that interesting. 36% of them said that they wanted to improve their mental health. And the third one is an interesting one. Manage money better. And I've put in brackets, how easy is that? 34% manage money better.
Yeah.
We all know from what we're hearing anecdotally and also in the media and also in the surveys that are going around, people are feeling the squeeze more and more and more. So it's okay to sit back and say, I've made a New Year's resolution, I'm going to manage my money better. Well, you could manage your money better, but I'll tell you what, as the prices keep going up and the disparity between essentials and desirables, do you realise now that the disparity between between desirables and essentials is virtually equal?
Right.
I think the figure was $1,388 per month was spent on essentials, and $1,379 per month was spent on desirables.
Wow.
So when you make a New Year's resolution, I'm going to manage my money better, I'm asking myself, how easy is that? Do you need to go to a financial planner or whatever? We have a financial planner we go to. The fourth one, more time with family and friends. Yeah. So you would have to be, not there to work that one out, I would think. More time with family and friends, but how much of it do we do? Your family lives interstate.
Yeah.
My family, the bulk of them live here in South Australia. So, and yet I hardly ever see my grandchildren. And those that are close to me, I hardly see at all because, like you, being a minister, I'm so busy.
Yeah.
I don't get the time. And the fifth one I love, travelling more. 27% of those surveyed said they need to travel more. Yeah. Well, let me let you in on a secret. Lurline and I have booked ourselves a cruise next year.
We're going
from Sydney up to the Whitsundays.
Lucky youth.
Port Douglas, Cairns and places like that. We'll only away for 10 days, but you know what? It's just getting away.
Yeah.
So these are all worthwhile. These are worthwhile things.
Can I just jump in there?
Yeah, no, Brenton, you go.
I think what you said, and I'm having this same conversation with my wife, is, you know, we kind of New Year's just around the corner.
Yeah, it is.
Now's the time to be looking at our calendars, so to speak.
Yes.
And I've said to my wife, Tarani, hey, let's prioritise our families and things that are important to us before it gets filled up by other people's agendas and items with the church and other things.
That's
not that church is not important. That's obviously part of my life.
No.
But we also need to factor in those times for our family. And like you said, getaways with the wife, with your spouse. Because if you don't make time and put it into your calendar, something else is going to take that space.
Yes, it will indeed.
And so I think
I'd agree with that.
100%. I think this is a perfect time to really even just sit down. I mean, talking to myself at least, sit down with your new diary for 2025 and just look at it and go, okay, and these are the key dates that I'm away. And kind of like you're in control a bit rather than I don't know what's happening next month.
You are.
Yeah.
I mean, the question was, are New Year's resolutions the ultimate embarrassment? Well, my answer to that would be they don't have to be.
Yeah.
It depends on what you've said. I mean, let's face it. Let's go back to number one here, improve my physical health. Well, if you haven't done anything about that during the year, yes, it is an embarrassment. Yeah. Is it the ultimate embarrassment? Well, I can't answer that. But the second one, improve my mental health. I think most people would probably agree that they would want to do things like that. I think another aspect of New Year's resolutions for a Christian, and now we're coming down to something maybe more close to home. I've put, these are all seem worthwhile. However, for a Christian, what could a list of resolutions for 2025 look like? How would a list of those resolutions look? So maybe we need to have a look at that after we go to the break and have a look and see, well, here are some suggestions, guys. There's suggestions. They're not all encompassing, but for a Christian and for someone who's listening to Faith FM, understanding more about the Lord each day and understanding God's love for them, these would be quite helpful, could be quite helpful as we enter 2025.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to go to a break. We're going to promote our book offer again. So here's the book. If you'd like a free copy of the book that we're offering for this week, Whole Person Health is the title by David Marshall. And so as the book title suggests, Whole Person Health, it's actually a state of complete physical, mental, social, and spiritual well-being. and not merely just the absence of disease. So how is that achieved? Well, that's what the book is all about. If you'd like a free copy of the book, Whole Person Health by David Marshall, all you need to do is text the code SA245 to our number 0488 80811, and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. So once again, the book Whole Person Health by David Marshall. If you'd like a free copy, just text the code SA245 to our number 0488 80811, and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. Please don't go away. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Worship together with us.
King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor.
But as for me, my hope is in you, O Lord. My trust is in your unfailing love.
I will hope in you forever. I will praise you in the presence of your saints.
We put our hope in you, Lord, for with your love is full redemption.
We will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name we will hope, for your name is good.
O God, our Savior, you are the hope of all the ends of the earth and the farthest seas. We call on you, and you answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness.
O Lord Jesus, we worship you for the amazing hope to which we're called and for the resurrection power that is our inheritance in you. The power that brought you to earth as an infant is the same power that raised you from the grave to be seated in glory at your Father's right hand. Now we proclaim that you are our God, our King, and the hope of our hearts.
Here I am to worship. That was Claire Cloninger and Lowell Alexander. We hope you enjoyed that rendition. You listen to Faith FM. Amen. You're back. Listen to Faith FM, Drive Time BQ&A. We're looking at the question, Brenton and I here, looking at the question, New Year's resolutions. That's the theme, but tonight's topic, are New Year's resolutions
the ultimate embarrassment?
So, yeah, before the break, you were sharing a couple of pretty humorous quotes there, Pastor Brendan, about this concept of New Year's resolutions.
The last
one I liked
the best.
Yeah.
Good resolutions are simply checks that men may draw on a bank where they have no account. I like that. I mean, you'd have to update that to modern day.
Yeah, that's it.
Electronic transfer from an account you don't possess. Yeah. Anyway, look, I thought as we sort of have a look at this in a bit more detail, let's have a look at some examples of resolutions that a Christian could make for next year. Now, you've touched on an interesting one, Will, and I'm glad you brought it up, regarding wanting to read the Bible this year and how you're, shall we say, struggling along with Samson in the Book of Judges at the moment. That's about where you are.
Yeah.
One of them is this. One resolution that I believe as a Christian we should all make is read your Bible for 20 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting about that, I would suggest for anyone listening who hasn't read the Bible before or maybe is new to the Bible and doesn't read it a lot, a good place to start is the Book of Mark. When I do Bible studies with people and they ask me, well, you know, you've given me a Bible, where do you want me to start reading? My answer is, well, if you want to know Jesus, because the Bible is all about him, the best place to start is where it talks about Jesus. Don't start at Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, etc.
Yeah.
Don't start there. Start in the Gospels. And in my opinion, the gospel to read if you're new to the Bible or you're wanting to go through it again, the Book of Mark, I call it the all-action gospel. Why? Because often you'll find in Mark the word immediately.
Yeah.
He does something and then it says immediately and he's into something else. Let me give you an example. I'll use two verses from the Book of Mark just to illustrate the point that I'm making. Mark chapter 1, verse 1 says this, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before you. There is no genealogy. There's no birth of Christ. There's no Herod. There's no wise men. There's none of that. It's straight into it. What is the gospel, Will?
Yeah, the good news.
The good news?
Yes.
So the book starts with the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. So that's chapter 1.
He doesn't waste time, does he?
He's straight into it.
The gospel writer Mark,
straight into it. He does, doesn't waste time at all. Then you come to the very last chapter of the book of Mark, which is chapter 16, where it says something along these lines. I found it interesting. So then, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs Amen. Amen, as you know, means may it be so, or so be it. So that's the book of Mark, 16 chapters. If you read 20 minutes a day, I would suggest you'd get through the book of Mark in certainly about 2 weeks, maybe less. So that's a good resolution to make, I believe, as a Christian. Yeah. Here's another interesting one. Go to church every week without fail.
Yeah, good one.
Now, that is a good one. That's a good one for all of us. Why? I believe that in going to church, it's very important because this is where you get to know God.
Mm.
You hear about the Word of God from the living preacher. You participate in worship or can, and you also have other people who also are there to hear about the Word of God as well. So many people sort of say to themselves, oh, yeah, church, yeah, I do need to get back to church. I've had people say this to me. You might have too. Yeah, I need to get back to church. And they blow in next week and you see them and then you don't see them again for a couple of weeks.
Mm.
And when you check up on how they're doing, oh, pastor, I'm struggling a bit, you know. So I think the need to go to church is actually very, very important. Yeah. The third one that I would mention is set aside 15 minutes each day to pray. Now, I don't know about you. I don't time myself with my prayers.
Yeah.
Do I spend 15 minutes a day in prayer? Stop and think about it from this angle. That doesn't mean getting up at 6 a.m. in the morning and from 6 a.m. to 6:15 I'm talking to the Lord in prayer. It can mean you're driving your car. You're talking to the Lord in prayer.
Yeah.
It can mean you're working in the garden. You can still be talking to the Lord in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You could be walking down a shopping mall with your wife
and
be silently uttering a prayer. All it simply means is spend time with the Lord, whether it's deliberate time just by yourself, and I believe it does include that. But it doesn't have to be in a formal setting like I must go to the lounge room so that I can have my time with the Lord, or I must go to the shed or under a tree out in the garden or something like that. You can do it wherever you like.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to spend that time with the Lord each day. One of the things I'm finding personally I'd like to share with our listeners is I believe the more you learn about God, the more you know God, the more you recognize your limitations, but you also recognize that you have a God who does listen, and if you're really willing to take the time, and that's a problem I've got because we're often impatient people, to take the time to hear God speak to you. How does he speak to you? Sometimes it's through the Word of God, and sometimes it's through your conscience, what we call the still small voice. Mm. I don't know how you found it, but you may have something to share on that issue.
Yeah. I think it's just actually, as you were just talking, I saw on social media a little while ago, I think his name is R.T. Kendall.
I've heard of him, but that's
I think he's an evangelical preacher.
Right. Okay.
So he's an older gentleman. And anyway, it was just like a minute snippet, and it was pretty powerful, Brenton. Right. I actually saved it on my phone. And basically went right to the point when he was saying, he said, the question was framed to him, what would you say to your younger self as a young minister? And he basically said, it was quite simple but quite profound. He said, I would concentrate on two things. He said, and he's basically giving counsel to young pastors as well. Mm-hmm. He said, I would spend more time reading my Bible
and
more time praying.
I'd agree with you 100%.
I listened to it and I said, wow. Like he said, that's where your power as a pastor and as a Christian, that's where it comes from. So beautiful. You could see it in his face because he was a seasoned preacher and this man has been through the battles of ministry and life. And for him to come out the other side and he said, you know what, at the end of the day, we need to be praying more and reading our Bible more.
Absolutely.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah,
it's basically all these things you're saying, Pastor Brandon.
Yeah,
spending time in the Bible, spend time praying.
Yeah. Yes, and the next one is join a Bible study group, either at church or at a home group. Yeah. Now, home groups are pretty popular these days for Bible study. But I would suggest very strongly that we do this. I have the privilege of sharing in a Bible study group on Tuesday nights, and it's a real privilege to be able to study the Word of God with others.
Amen.
And I think it's something that it's been really good for me personally, because I'm the one who leads the Bible study group, but we also have used other people in the group to take a Bible study from time to time. And I think joining a Bible study group, you may think you've read the Bible, I've read the Bible many times, you may think you know it all, and you come along to a Bible study group and you listen to someone else. It's not so much the cognitive information you're taking in. I believe personally it's your relationship with the Lord that's actually more important.
Yeah.
You can quote large sections of the Bible, but if you don't know Jesus personally, and the only way you find that out, I believe, is setting aside the time for study, as we've already said, but also joining a Bible study group, you get other ideas. You get what they call cross-pollination, I think is the term that we sometimes use. Ideas from others who have also studied the word for themselves, and they have something to contribute. And if you listen carefully, you can often find in listening to people when they're talking about the Bible or what they've read and what it means to them, you can often see how they're progressing on the spiritual journey. Yep. Are they making headway or are they struggling? Is it, you know... Now, the next one is probably not a great one for either you or I. It's called try fasting. I must admit, back in the day, when I was a bit younger, we used to have days of fasting at church. Usually at least once a year we would fast, and as kids we found that pretty hard. The Bible has a fair bit to say about fasting, as you know, but God makes it very clear the only fasting he accepts is with the right reasons for the right reasons. So that's yet another one. Now, here's an interesting one. Ask a friend to go to church with you. Wow. Ask a friend to go to church with you. Yeah, I have tried that at times. That's an interesting one. Any thoughts on that one?
I was more interested in the one you just said before. I mean, the idea of fasting
one.
I was literally just watching some podcasts a number of days ago.
Yes.
And you know what's so powerful, Brenton, is there's a whole world being healthy in longevity.
Yes.
Is such a universal, everyone wants to be healthier. And I was watching some, I forgot his name, but, you know, he's a medical research expert. Right. Mm-hmm. And the whole, it's a 3-hour podcast, plus.
Man. Yeah.
And guess what the topic is? It's about fasting.
Fasting.
I didn't know you could talk about that for that long. And yet he's citing studies and research. And then when it got to the tail end, he kind of had a couple of different ways you could go about it. He was like, you could go for what's called intermittent fasting, where you have a window of time where you eat and you kind of don't eat for the first part of the day. Yep. And then he was saying like once a quarter, he does like a 48-hour fast.
Oh, my
I guess, man. Yeah. And then every month he, yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is, and isn't it interesting that some of the research that's coming out now, you know, the Bible actually talks about it. You know, Christian religions have been practicing fasting since, I guess, you know, going back centuries.
A long time.
And yet today it's almost like a buzzword, and this new, not I wouldn't say new, but people are picking up on the benefits of fasting.
Yes, they are.
And,
indeed.
You know, you actually said it, Pastor Brandon, it's like if you put me on the spot with, you know, do I practice fasting? You know, I used to – look, let me be totally honest with you, Pastor Brennan.
You used to.
I was – when I was doing the Bible work a number of years ago before I went to college to study.
You used to
I had a set day where I do it every week. I don't know. Maybe I need to get back to it. I'm not too sure.
Maybe you do.
But the benefits are there. And
tell you what we've tried to do in our house, Lulene and I, and as I said before, my wife is a very good cook. we have tried to cut down our evening meal to either nothing at all or a fairly light meal.
Yeah.
Someone once said that you should breakfast should be like a king, lunch should be like a prince, and tea should be either non-existent or very, very light.
Uh-huh.
And yet, for a lot of Australians, the biggest meal of the day is the evening meal.
Yeah.
Start tithing. Now, there's another one. Malachi 3:10 tells us to bring all the tithes into the storehouse.
Yes.
And it has a promise attached to it.
Yes.
Prove me now, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there won't even be room enough to receive it.
Powerful.
What a wonderful promise.
Powerful.
Now, this is another one. This is going to stump you. Read a certain number of Christian books a month. I looked at that one and said, that's good. I like to read Christian books. Do I set myself a task of reading a certain number of books a month? No, because often what I'm reading is fairly deeply theological.
Yeah.
And
what do you like to get into reading, Brendan? I mean, aside from the Bible, do you like reading commentaries?
I do like reading commentaries.
Yeah.
So I've got the Andrew's Study Bible commentary at home. You might have
that grey one. Yeah, the one it's we all got recently. Yeah.
That's a very good commentary. Yep. Very, very good commentary.
Actually, you know what happened? Because
Like reading books on prophecy.
Yeah.
I like reading books on human relationships. Some of the biblical stories, I really like getting into that sort of stuff. Books that I would recommend that are very well written on Bible characters are books by Chuck Swindoll.
Okay, I've heard of Chuck Swindoll,
Some of his books are very, very good indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the next one is an interesting one, memorize scripture.
Yeah.
Very important. Earlier today, along with Zephaniah 3 and Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, I read Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork.
Amen.
Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night giveth knowledge.
Yeah.
There is no sound nor language where their voice is not heard. Their sound has gone out throughout the world and to the ends of the earth. It is like a bridegroom arising from his chamber, etc., etc. I used to know it by heart, and I started reading it and said I can do the first six verses or so straight off. I need to brush up on that.
Yes.
But memorizing scripture, I believe the Holy Spirit brings it to your remembrance when you actually need it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another good one. And how are we going for time? We're nearly there.
A few more minutes ago.
Okay. This is a good one. Forgive past grudges.
Mm.
Now, we run a program called Forgive to Live. I think those who listen to Faith FM would have heard of Forgive to Live.
Yeah.
It's a program that I've run in the past, and it's a very, very good program indeed. Folk, if you're looking at New Year's resolutions for the new year, can I suggest that this is very, very important, forgiving past grudges? And there's something else that I would add. You need to learn to forgive yourself. Chapter 12 of the book Forgive to Live deals quite a bit with the benefits health-wise and mental stability-wise and otherwise that can accrue to you by learning to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
They're very important things.
Yeah, pretty powerful.
And the last one I would like to mention, and I haven't even been through the full list because the full list was about 20, but I thought I'd finish on this one. Be content with what you have.
Yeah.
And I'm going to quote a scriptural verse for that one from the book of Philippians. Chapter 4 and verses 11 to 13. Many people listening to our program today would know this one. It says this: But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. He's talking about times when he's been in quite a bit of need. But then he says this: Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. One of the greatest gifts you can give yourself, I believe, in New Year's resolutions is this: learning to be content with what you have. Yeah. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ
who gives
me strength. I think that's where I'd like to sign off for this year.
Yes.
And say, guys, these are good, solid biblical
yeah.
resolutions that you can make, and by the grace of God, keep as you go into 2025.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Brenton. Our time is unfortunately up for tonight. So we hope you've enjoyed our conversation here on Drive Time BQ&A. Please do join our hosts, Pastor Ricardo and Pastor Marty. Tomorrow they'll be looking at the question, a better physical life, does the Bible agree with the research? So you'll be in for a treat as Ricardo and Marty unpack that question for you tomorrow. So, hey, it's only a couple of days away till Christmas. Have a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. But until then, we want to leave you with the words of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John. And Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. May God bless you. Merry Christmas. And we'll hope to see you next time.
Dream of Christmas morn and all the gifts and toys we knew we'd find, but we never realized a baby born one blessed night gave us the greatest gift of our that he gave his life. We were the reason that he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all he could give to show us a reason to live. As the years went by, we learned more about gifts, the giving of ourselves, and what that means. On a dark and cloudy day, a man hung crying in the rain because of love, because of it's